I see myself in this totality, and meanwhile I'm only a transparent diagram of manners and private words, with the certainty of being about to fall. Hey, this is Bianca Stone of the Roost Stone House podcast. We're doing something different today, and it's something we're going to be doing a lot of because we talk a lot about poetry, but we don't listen to enough poetry. Edward Hirsch says that poetry is a voicing, a calling forth, and the lyric poem exists somewhere in that region, the register between speech and song. The words are waiting to be vocalized. The greatest poets have always recognized the oral dimensions of their medium. For most of human history, poetry has been an oral art. It retains vestiges of that orality always. Writing is not speech. It is graphic inscription. It is visual emblem. It is a chain of signs on the page. Nevertheless, or nonetheless, quote, I made it out of a mouthful of air. And that was Yeats. Ed Hirsch says, when I recite a poem, I inhabit it. How incredible is that? When we recite something, we are literally inhabiting the breath of that poet. You become Keats. I want to become Keats. I want to inhabit Keats. But today we're inhabiting John Ashbery and one of his beautiful long poems from the John Ashbery Selected. This poem has a really amazing name. Clepsydra, which is a water clock. A clock made of water. And if that's not a metaphor for poetry, I don't know what is. I don't know what a metaphor for poetry is if it's not a clepsydra. But I want to say, too, that today's episode is being brought to you by language. Language, the principal method of human communication consisting of words and constructed like a blooming hand of God against the loitering skin of your cheeks, and I mean all your cheeks. Language, put it in your mouth. Oh, so sweet and absurd. Hasn't the sky returned from moving the other authority recently dropped, rested as much of that severe sunshine as you need now on the way you go? The reason why it happened only since you woke up is letting the steam disappear from the clouds. When the landscape all around is hilly sights, they will have to be reckoned into the total for there to be more air. That is, more fitness read into the undeduced result than land. This means never getting closer to the basic principle operating behind it than to the distracted entity of a mirage. The half-meant, half-perceived motions of fronds out of idle depths that are summer. An expansion into little draughts. The reply wakens easily, darting from untruth to willed moment, scarcely called into being before it swells the way a waterfall drums at different levels. Each moment of utterance is the true one. Likewise, none are true. Only is the bounding from air to air, a serpentine gesture which hides the truth behind a congruent message. The way air hides the sky is, in fact, tearing it limb from limb this very moment. But the sky has pleaded already, and this is about as graceful a kind of non-absence as either has a right to expect. Whether it's the form some creator who has momentarily turned away, marrying detachment with respect, so that the pieces are seen as parts of the spectrum, independent, yet symbolic of their staggered times of arrival. Whether on the one hand, all of it is to be seen as no luck, a recurring whiteness, like the face of stone pleasure, urging forward as nostrils would only meant dust. But the argument that is its way, has already left these behind. It is, it would have you believe, the white din up ahead that matters. Unformed yells, rocketings, affected turns, the tones of voice called by upper shadows toward some cloud of belief or its unstated circumference. But the light has already gone from there too, and it may be that It is lines contracting into a plane. We hear so much of its further action that at last it seems that it is we are taking it into account, rather, that are the reply that prompted the question, and that the latter, like a person waking on a pillow, has the sensation of having dreamt the whole thing, of returning to participate in that dream, until the last word is exhausted. Certainly, this is peace of a sort, like nets drying in the sun, that we must progress toward the whole thing about an hour ago. As long as it is there, you will desire it, and its tag of wall sinks deeper, as though hollowed by sunlight that just fits over it. It is both mirage and the little that was present. A miserable totality mustered at any given moment, like your eyes, and all they speak of, such as your hands, in lost accents beyond any dream of ever wanting them again. To have this to be constantly coming back from, nothing more, really, than surprise at your absence and preparing to continue the dialogue into those mysterious and near regions that are precisely the time of its being furthered. Seeing it as it was, dividing that time, casting colored paddles against the welter of a future of disunion, just to abolish confusion and permit level walks into the gaze of its standing around admiringly. It was then that it was these moments that were the truth, although each tapered into the distance surrounding night. But wasn't it their blindness instead? And wasn't this the fact of being so turned in on each other that neither would ever see his way clear again? It did not stagger the imagination so long as it stayed this way, comparable to exclusion from the light of the stars that drenched every instant of that being in an egotistic way, as though their round time were only the reverse of some more concealable, vengeful purpose to become known once its result had more or less established the look of the horizon. But the condition of those moments of timeless elasticity and blindness was being joined secretly, so that their paths would cross again and be separated, only to join again in a final assumption rising like a shout to be endless in the discovery of the declamatory nature of the distance traveled. All this is not without small variations of surprise. Yet an invisible fountain continually destroys and refreshes the provisions. Then is their permanence merely a function of the assurance with which it's understood? Assurance which, you might say, goes a long way toward conditioning whatever result? But there was no statement at the beginning. There was only a breathless waste, a dumb cry, shaping everything in projected after effects, orphaned by playing the part intended for them. Though one must not forget that the nature of this emptiness, these provisions, was that it could only happen here on this page, held too close to be legible, sprouting erasures, except that they ended everything in the transparent sphere of what was intended only a moment ago, spiraling further out, its gesture finally dissolving in the weather. It was the long way back out of sadness of that first meeting, a triumph, an imaginary feeling, which still protected its events and pauses, the way a telescope protects its view of distant mountains and all they include, the coming and going, moving correctly up to other levels, preparing to spend the night there, where the tiny figures halt as darkness comes on, beside some loud torrent in an empty yet personal landscape, which has the further advantage of being what surrounds without insisting, the very breath so honorably offered and accepted in the same spirit. There was, in fact, pleasure in those high walls. Each moment seemed to bore back into the centuries for profit and manners, and an old way of looking that continually shaped those lips into a smile. where it was like standing at the edge of a harbor early on a summer morning, with the discreet shadows cast by the water all around and a feeling again of emptiness, but of richness in the way the whole thing is organized. On what a miraculous scale, really what is meant by a human level, and the figures of giants not too much bigger than the men who have come to petition them. A moment that gave not only itself, but also the means of keeping it, of not turning to dust or gestures somewhere up ahead, but of becoming complicated like the torrents in new dark passages, tears and laughter, which are the signs of life, of distant life in this case. And yet, as always happens, there would come a moment when acts no longer sufficed and the calm of this true progression hardened into shreds of another kind of calm, returning to the conclusion, its premise undertaken before any formal agreement had been reached, hence a writ that was the shadow of the colossal reason behind all this, like a second rigid body behind the one you know is yours. And it was in vain that tears blotted the contract now, because it had been freely drawn up and consented to as insurance against the very condition it was now so efficiently seeking to establish. It had reduced that other world, the round one of the telescope, to a kind of very fine powder or dust, so small that space could not remember it. Thereafter, any signs of feeling were cut short by the comfort and security, a certain elegance even, like the fittings of a ship, that are, after all, the most normal things in the world. Yes, perhaps, but the words, after all, are important for understanding the almost exaggerated strictness of the condition, and why, in spite of this, it seemed the validity of the former continuing was not likely to be reinstated for a long time. After all, that too might be possible, and indeed all kinds of things are possible in the widening angle of the day, as it comes to blush with pleasure and increase, so that light sinks into itself, becomes dark and heavy, like a surface stained with ink. There was something not quite good or correct about the way things were looking recently. Hadn't the point of all this new construction been to provide a protected medium for the exchange each felt of such vital concern, and wasn't it now giving itself the airs of a palace? And yet her hairs had never been so long. It was a feeling of well-being, if you will, as though the smallest distant impulse had rendered the whole surface ultra-sensitive, but its fierceness was still acquiescence to the nature of this goodness already past, and it was a kind of sweet acknowledgement of how the past is yours, to keep invisible if you wish, but also to make absurd elaborations with, and in this way prolong your dance of non-discovery in brittle, useless architecture that is nevertheless the map of your desires, irreproachable, beyond madness and the toe of approaching night, if only your desire to arrange it this way. Your acts are sentinels against this quiet invasion. Long may you prosper, and may your years be the throes of what is even now exhausting itself in one last effort to outwit us. It could only be a map of the world. In their defeat, such peninsulas as become prolongations of our reluctance to approach, but also fine days on whose memorable successions of events we shall be ever afterwards tempted to dwell. I am not speaking of a partially successful attempt to be opposite. Anything, anybody at all can read that page. It has only to be thrust in front of him. I mean now something much broader, the sum total of all the private aspects that can ever become legible in what was outside, as much as the rocks and foliage as in the invisible look of the distant ether, and in the iron fist that suddenly closes over your own. I see myself in this totality, and meanwhile I am only a transparent diagram of manners and private words, with the certainty of being about to fall. And even this crumb of life I also owe to you, for being so close as to seal out knowledge of that other voluntary life, and so keep its root in darkness until your maturity, when your hair will actually be the branches of a tree with the light pouring through them. It intensifies echoes in such a way as to form a channel to absorb every correct motion. In this way, any direction taken was the right one, leading first to you, and through you, to myself that is beyond you, and which is the same thing as space, that is the stammering vehicles that remain unknown, eating the sky in all sincerity, because the difference can never be made up. Therefore, why not examine the distance? It seems he had been repeating the same stupid phrase over and over throughout his life. Meanwhile, infant destinies had suavely matured. There was to be a meeting or collection of them that very evening. He was out of it, of course, for having lain happily awake on the tepid fringes of that field or whatever, whose center was beginning to churn darkly. But even more for having the progression of minutes by accepting them as one accepts drops of rain as they form a shower, and without worrying about the fine weather that will come after. Why shouldn't all climate and all music be equal without growing? There should be an invariable balance of contentment to hold everything in place, ministering to stunted memories, helping them stand alone and return into the world, without ever looking back at what they might have become, even though in doing so, they might just once have been the truth that invisible still surrounds us, like the air, and is the dividing force between our slightest steps and the notes taken on them. It is because everything is relative that we shall never see in that sphere of pure wisdom and entertainment, much more than groping shadows of an incomplete former existence so close it burns like the mouth that closes down over all your effort, like the moment of death, but stays, raging and burning the design, its intentions into your house of your brain, until you wake up alone. The certainty that it wasn't a dream, only your clue to why the walls are turning on you, and why the windows no longer speak of time, but are themselves transparent guardians you invented for what was there to hide, which has now grown up or moved away, as a jewel exists when there is no one to look at it, and this existence saps your own. Perhaps you are being kept here only so that somewhere else the peculiar light of someone's purpose can blaze unexpectedly in the acute angles of the room. It is not a question, then, of having not lived in vain. What is meant is that this distant image of you, the way you really are, is the test of how you see yourself. And regardless of whether or not you hesitate, it may be assumed that you have won. That this wooden and external representation returns the full echo of what you meant, with nothing left over, from the circumference now alight with X possibilities become present fact, and you must wear them like clothing. That was the poem Clepsydra, from Selected Poems by John Ashbery, published by Penguin Poets. If you have a poem you want me to read, I'm happy to hear your suggestions. Send them to bianca@roostonehouse.org.